For 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. And when I say only, trust me, they're the only one. Glenn and the team have been great supporters of the show, which is why I'm proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you're getting the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message that you support free speech and religious freedom, the sanctity of life, the Second Amendment, military veterans, and first responders. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT and get free activation when you use offer code Dana. Join me and make the switch today. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
Point is this, that I was deeply saddened and outraged by the explosion at the hospital in Gaza yesterday, and based on what I've seen, it appears as though it was done by the other team, not you. But there's a lot of people out there not sure, so we got to overcome a lot of things.
Who the hell's the other team? I saw this morning. I'm trying to figure out who exactly is the other team here that he's talking about. This isn't a soccer game. It's not a football game, not a soccer match, not a football game, not a baseball game. It's a terrorist attack against people. There's no other side here. I don't understand what that means. I'm trying to figure out how to put this. I honestly think in the past 24, 48 hours, it has been absolutely disastrous in a couple of different ways. Disastrous where it concerns the media. I think it has been disastrous for foreign policy for the United States. It has been disastrous because now you have Iran who is saber rattling. We're going to discuss all of this. It has been an absolute disaster. Welcome to the program. That's how we're starting out this Wednesday. Dana Lash here with you. You can listen coast to coast as well. A lot of moving parts here, and I'm going to try to break it down for you as best, as very simply as possible so you understand. So everything, just look at it like this. Everything is broken up into about three different sections because you have the overarching topic of the terror attack in Israel. You also have the media malpractice, which has also now become itself a story. I'm going to explain. You also have the reactions of the left. And I don't just mean the left in the United States. And I don't just mean the Rashida Tlaibs and the Ilhan Omars and everyone else. But I also am looking at the college students. And I'm also looking at the leftists who conflate Hamas with the fictional entity that is Palestine or Palestinian. All of that. The riots that have taken place in around embassies in what? There's riots in Greece and Beirut, elsewhere. And then now there's also the third, the Iran issue, because now they are saber rattling. What do I mean by that? Well, I mean, they decided their foreign defense minister puts up a tweet, the official account that says time is up. I don't, what does that mean? What do you mean time is up? What is the time that's up? I mean, there's no reason for you to even be saying anything. What do you mean time is up? This is goofy. So these are the, I guess, sort of three different ways you can break this down. Let's start, though, with the top, the craziest, everything that just really started falling apart yesterday. And, of course, that gets into the situation of this rocket that hit the hospital in Gaza City. Now, there's been a lot of stuff said about this. A lot of people have decided to rush forward. And as I said last week, and apparently a lot of other people listen to my show and just didn't want to give credit, but that's okay. They lead Roy Jenkins like right into it. It's fine. And right into that, repeating the Hamas narrative on this, the Hamas headline, because what did you see? Did you notice? I think the best way to see this is with the way that the New York Times did it. I want to start there, even though I know, before anybody says anything, I know it was a lot of these outlets. I get it. I know it was. But I think that the New York Times was the worst. I think they were the absolute worst with us because they were stealth editing their headlines. They were stealth editing everything. So they started out with the story of the hospital being bombed, being attacked, because that's what happened yesterday. There was a hospital. The first thing that you heard was that there was a hospital that was attacked. A hospital that was attacked. Oh my gosh. So it sounds so horrible. I mean, not that, I mean, right? I mean, I don't think anyone in their right mind would be like, oh my gosh, a hospital. Is it the one that Hamas is headquartered in? Before we go further, is it, because, you know, they do have their headquarters in a hospital. But you're not supposed to ask those questions for some reason. Because, see, Hamas thinks that war is only, the only acceptable form of war is when they can fight everybody else and no one can respond. That's their only acceptable form of war. So you have this hospital that was bombed, and we all saw the headlines that first came out. Oh my gosh, before anybody fact checked or picked up the phone, it was the New York Times, and I have so many screenshots. It was the New York Times that immediately ran out with the thing. Oh my gosh, this is what happened. Palestinians say. This is what happened. Palestinians say. Okay, well, you know, we know that their sources are, you know, unimpeachable, right? I mean, we know that they're never wrong. This is just something that we know. This is where it gets confusing, because the media uses Hamas and Palestinians literally interchangeably. So it wasn't Palestinians say, it was Hamas said. It was Hamas who said it. It was Hamas who did this. It wasn't just Palestinians say, but they conflate it. This is why there's a huge problem. The conflation between Hamas and quote unquote Palestine or quote unquote Palestinians. So they came out with this, and the hospital was bombed. Approximately 500 people have been killed. Hamas can't even tell you how many Jewish hostages are still alive, but they can tell you to the letter seconds after this hospital reportedly had been bombed. They can tell you that this is approximately 500 people. Well, then there's some other things that started coming out about it. There's video that came out about it. Geo-tracking that came out about it. There was all of this stuff that came out about this. And as it showed, it wasn't actually the hospital that was hit. It was the parking lot that was next to the hospital. So it wasn't the hospital that was directly hit. It was the parking lot next to the hospital that was hit. And then, you know, because there's a lot of media there. I dare say there's a lot of media that is there that is not friendly to Israel. A lot of media that's embedded in Gaza, a lot of media that's embedded with IDF that are not friendly to Israel. But they all had their cameras going too. They all had their live shots. They all get their B-roll of different rockets going off and explosions in the city. That's usually what you see. And all of them captured from a million different angles, which are all over this thing called the internet that's publicly accessible. They all showed that this is, looked like it was a rocket that took off in Gaza and landed in Gaza. I mean, you can see it. It didn't even make it anywhere else. It didn't come from Israel. And you can see the rocket that took off was launched in Gaza, and it landed just a little bit away in Gaza. So then it turns out that it was a misfired rocket from terrorists who hit their own damn hospital parking lot. This is not the first time this has happened. And then the IDF comes out and they say, well, we've got audio of actual terrorists talking about how it was their rocket. They released it. And it's suddenly amazing to me, all of the people that were online like, well, 400 or 40 babies. What do you mean 40 babies that had their heads chopped off? I need to see all dead bodies, all 40 babies, all 40 babies' heads. All of a sudden, they were like, sure, we believe Hamas. Sure, we believe. We believe. So interesting how that happened. So now then the New York Times starts stealth editing their headlines from this. Joe Biden's over there right now. He was meeting with Benjamin Netanyahu. As all of this is unfolding, he was also supposed to meet with other leaders. He actually just left Israel. We saw the footage of him departing. He was on the tarmac. He met with Benjamin Netanyahu, departed Israel, headed back to D.C., and he was supposed to meet with some of the other leaders. Didn't happen. We'll get into that. But as he's doing this, as all this is what the media narrative, all the media narrative is unfolding. And so now you have the media stealth editing their headlines. The first headlines that they were coming up with, it's pretty amazing. They were saying that, oh my goodness, the hospital was attacked. And then they went to the hospital was bombed. Then they changed it to the deadly blast at a Gaza hospital. They actually even started saying that it was Israel. Then they started stealth editing that. And then the image that they used for their picture, when they finally changed it to say that because they said that the Israeli strike kills hundreds in a hospital, Palestinians say. That's literally how they started this. That was the front page. There's screenshots of it. It literally says this. It literally says this. I included all of this. I'm going to send it out to you in a newsletter. It's on my rundown for the program today. Israeli strike kills hundreds in hospital, Palestinians say. And then as they began stealth editing throughout, you know, the last 24 hours, then they started changing it to, well, there was a blast. Then they stopped naming who may have been behind it at all whatsoever. The deadly blast at a Gaza hospital. Well, hell, it wasn't even a hospital. Like I said, it was the parking lot. They were trying to redefine and refine the story after they ran Hamas's propaganda about a terrorist failed rocket strike without question. So now here's the other part. Since, you know, the media line is now part of the story. So now apparently it's a group that they say, well, it's called the Islamic Jihad. Is there any other? Can I just stop here? Do you realize how stupid that is? I don't give a rat's ass what your goofy, dippy, pansy, doggy, cowardly terrorist group name is. You're all a bunch of female copulatory organs. I don't care. I don't care if you're called Hamas. I don't care if you're what you're called, Hezbollah or whatever, or this one, which is apparently the Islamic Jihad. Who else has a jihad? They're apparently behind this one. It's all the same. It's all the same side of this stupid coin. It's all the same side. Just different sides of the same dumb coin. So now they're trying to say, well, it wasn't Hamas. Like, they're defending it. I have so many stories of Hamas. Do you realize 40% of Hamas's rockets? Because, you know, they're crudely cobbled together from the water pipes and the sewage pipes, as I have explained to you in great detail over the past few days. They're cobbled together in such a manner. So yeah, 40% of them, they don't work out so well. I'm not joking. They have misfires constantly. This is more than just media malpractice, though, because now we have regional destabilization underway, and we're going to talk about that. Because even though we have all this stuff, now you have riots outside various embassies, fires being set, the Middle East summit, all these Arab leaders canceled meeting with Biden. He only met with Netanyahu. And in the meantime, Democrats are helping foment this here in the U.S. All right, folks, so you've heard me talk about Hillsdale College giving away free copies of the Constitution and Declaration of Independence to my listeners for Constitution Day on September 17th. They've set an immediate goal to give copies to 1 million Americans who don't have one. And if not you, then maybe a young person that you know. And the response has been tremendous. However, this free offer for my listeners ends soon. So if you haven't already, order your free copy right now at Dana4Hillsdale.com. Because every American should have a copy of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. And these days, when most schools neglect to teach our kids about our nation's great heritage of liberty, it's more critical than ever to make sure that these documents are readily available to them. So to claim your free copy, visit Dana4Hillsdale.com today, complete a very simple form, and receive your booklet through the mail, and you don't even have to pay for shipping. But as I mentioned, this offer expires soon. So order your copy now at Dana4Hillsdale.com. That's Dana4Hillsdale.com. Don't delay.
56% of adults feel behind on retirement. Are you one of them? People are living longer, which means people need more saved up. Make sure to not fall trap to a guide that tells you when you should retire, because everyone's situation is different. Are you going to have to work longer? Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So I'm not going to touch on some of the 2024 stuff because that's still too early, I think. And also, just like in the polls and that. But I will say this is very interesting. And I dare say that I did suspect this. Mm-hmm. A new poll shows that RFK Jr. is not actually taking support from Biden. He's actually taking support from Trump. He's an independent. It shows it actually spelling. This is from Mediaite and Marist, NPR and PBS. They show a 5-point drop amongst Democrats for Biden with Kennedy, but there's a plus 10 drop amongst Republicans who are for Trump that are picking RFK Jr. instead of Trump. I'm not saying that you should trust me when I say that this dude is sus. Everyone's like, he's going to pull support from Democrats. And I'm like, yeah, you guys are smoking Hunter's crack. That's not ever going to happen. So, and it was a pretty wide sample and it was only plus 2 left. Yeah, it was like well within the margin of error. So, I'm just saying, guys, just saying. Alec Baldwin, and now looks like prosecutors are going to recharge him for shooting in front of everyone and killing his cinematographer because he's a D-bag that knows nothing about guns while he lectures everybody else. I mean, it's horrific, but now they're looking to recharge Alec Baldwin. He's been living his life. They said they're presenting the case prosecutors to the grand jury within the next 2 months. They said additional facts have come to light. I don't know what additional facts could come to light about a guy who the cameras were rolling when he literally squeezed the trigger and shot and killed a cinematographer, but okay. Let's see. Fake airline reps are helping disgruntled passengers rebook flights in the latest bizarre and a new scam. Is it a scam if they're helping them? I mean, maybe these airlines should try to work with these, bring these hucksters on. All right, coming up, where did it all go wrong? I've got a theory. Stick with us. You have heard me talk a lot about how much I love my Kel-Tec P50. It's just so versatile and has become a global choice of protective details and sport shooters like me. Well, have y'all seen the new R50? Like the P50, the R50 carbine is light, well-balanced, and easily manipulated. The side-folding tack driver gives you maximum speed, accuracy, and power downrange. It is great fun out on the range. It looks like a SpaceX blaster. And the 5.7 cartridge comes in several variants, from sporting to hunting to serious personal defense. Now, the R50 comes with two 50-round double-stack mags that lay horizontally along the top, and just like the P50, the R50 offers over 7 inches of rail space up top for a wide range of optic options and even more space on the bottom for accessories. To learn more about the new R50 carbine, visit KeltecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com. Keltec, 30 years of innovation to help secure your world. Visit KeltecWeapons.com today. KeltecWeapons.com.
Tired of the same old predictable commentary? Spice up your day with a Dana Show podcast, where dynamic discussions, compelling guests, and Dana's unique perspective await. Download on Apple or wherever you get your podcasts.
Today, I'm also announcing $100 million in new U.S. funding for humanitarian assistance in both Gaza and the West Bank.
Oh, we're sending money to Gaza? Oh, hell no. Oh, hail, H-A-I-L, hail no.
I didn't vote for that.
I didn't vote for that. Who, first off, welcome back to the show. Greetings and salutations. your bemused curmudgeon, Dana Lash, here with you. And if you are not watching the simulcast, let me tease it. I accidentally made my hair bun too big, so it's like getting cut off at the top, and Juan's struggling, just he's on the struggle bus staying up with it today. The higher the hair, the closer to God, everybody. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program. You can watch it now. We have that technology. It's 2023, y'all. I've only been doing it for 10 years. You can also watch the simulcast of the radio program as well. YouTube, Facebook, channel 347, DirecTV. Okay, so what? Hold on. So he goes, you got President Grandpa, Daddy Showers, McSniff Kids, who goes to, he was going to go to Jordan and they canceled on him, I guess, while he was mid-air. So it didn't really happen that he didn't really make it over there. He met with Netanyahu. Everyone else bailed on him. That's bad. That's bad, by the way. He missed out a chance to ask them for some help with gas. He looked horrible, too, I got to say. Why did he feel like, remember he was going, where was he going to go? They canceled his whole schedule. That's why they canceled his schedule the other day. And everyone was, his people were spinning it like he went there to support Israel. And then he's going to support Israel. And then they also said he's going to go ask Israel some tough questions. What do you mean tough questions? Like, is it sad that you got attacked and lots of your people got killed by a terrorist entity that literally states it in their charter that you don't have the right to exist? Is that sad for you? Like, what tough questions is he going to ask, pray tell? So he was somehow like it was weird because he had very soft kind of criticism. It was just weird. He did say that it looked like it was a rocket that misfired, but he didn't say that it was a terrorist group that did it. He said it was the other, what did he say? The other side or the other team? Yeah. What in the world? It's just a big game to him, I guess. I think this was one of the, I don't know why he had to go over there. All the Arab leaders, every single one of them canceled on him. Every one of them canceled on him. Every one. He was going to meet with the president of the West Bank Authority. I'm not saying Palestine or Palestinian because they're made up terms, just as you're not going to force me to call a dude who chops off a schlong, a chick. Mahmoud Abbas, King Abdullah from Jordan canceled on him as well. Abdel al-Sisi, the Egyptian president, canceled on him. And this is because you had Gaza, you had Hamas that claimed that it was the IDF that bombed the park. And it was a parking lot, by the way. I guess they didn't think that the sun would come up and people would get photographs of the not destroyed hospital, but they would see photographs of the bombed parking lot. And did you guys think that out? I'm curious. Did you just, you know, I realize that they live in a world where they spend all the money that's given to them by hardworking people everywhere else on tunnels. They have like 300 miles of tunnels underneath Gaza, on tunnels and digging up pipes and fashioning rockets out of sewage pipes and then water pipes that are sent to them because no one trusts them with actual cash to not buy bombs. So I guess they just don't realize that the technology exists where you can geotrack stuff and you can actually see that. It was y'all that did this. Y'all did this. I mean, you guys were the ones that, I mean, you can see it in Gaza. Didn't come from Israel. It wasn't in Israeli airspace at all. So they had, and then you have all the international media cameras. So all the media here, you had the New York Times, Reuters, Associated Press, all these people ran with, well, Hamas, quote unquote Palestinians say, because they use them interchangeably. So don't sit here and bitch and moan about people not giving any benefit of the doubt to the quote unquote Palestinians when the media themselves uses the Palestinian word, again, a made up, not an ethnicity and not a country supported by thousands of years of antiquity, when they use it interchangeably with Hamas. So don't get mad at people for not drawing any distinctions when y'all don't yourselves either in your reporting. So it was Hamas that actually said this. It was Hamas that called up its BFFs in New York Times and elsewhere and said that it was the IDF that did it. So the New York Times literally spent 24 hours stealth editing their pieces. The AP has been very quietly changing everything, as has been Reuters and everyone else. These rat bastards in the media, and that's what they are. And if you guys want to get mad at me calling you what you are like you did 5 years ago, you can literally kiss my backside. These rat bastards have literally contributed to the destabilization of this region further, because you got rioting in embassies in a number of different countries. You got riots in Greece. You have the embassies under siege in Beirut. You got it happening in Lebanon. You got it, people rioting, I mean, here in the United States, because these people in the media are nothing more than fluffers for terrorist organizations if they're not terrorists themselves. You guys don't want to draw a distinction, then like hell will I either. They contributed to this. They contributed to this. Do you see the danger in American Pravda now? There is no such thing as a free press. No such thing. That is a lie that has been told to you since the inception of this country. The press in this country was not founded as a free press. What is a free press? Because I define a free press as a press that is unrestrained by either ego or by political loyalty. Unrestrained. Does this look like they are unrestrained by either ego or political fealty? It's rhetorical, because the answer is no. This is not a free press. They've contributed to the destabilization in this area. They have refused to rectify the reporting. They haven't corrected it. They haven't retracted it. They've stealth edited it. Don't say that they haven't, because I will beat you to death with a hole in a hole in the ground with the screenshots. Don't. Everybody has them. They're all on the internet. Stop. The same people who are like, well, Hamas said that, you know, they bombed a hospital, okay? Yeah. Those are the same people that were like, we don't believe that no babies was beheaded. Show us some babies. Same people. So, an embarrassing trip for the president of the United States. He looked weak and ridiculous, and he looked like he couldn't even muster the respect from Arab nations to keep a meeting with them. We're going to come back to this. I got to lighten it up for a second, because I'm getting mad. I realized where it all went wrong. So last night, how many of you, I grew up in the 80s and 90s. I was a 90s teen. I came of age in the 90s. And I remember when my mom would go get cigarettes at the 7-Eleven. There was a particular 7-Eleven. You used to be able to walk in and get cigarettes. Kane and I were talking about this for your parents or your grandma. And they had Garbage Pail Kids. How many of y'all remember Garbage Pail Kids? They were making fun of Cabbage Patch Kids, but baseball card style. Steve, are you on? And this is my favorite thing to do, is ask Steve if he's familiar with Garbage Pail Kids. Because, you know, he's a millennial, and there's certain things that he just does, and I love it. Steve, you never had no Garbage Pail Kids, did you?
I think that barely predates me, I think.
Okay.
I never
But you're, you heard of them, but you just never had
I'm
them.
Aware of what they are, but I never had one.
Gosh, they were like the things to have. They were the prison currency of the elementary school playground. Jolly Ranchers and Garbage Pail Kids. You could get anybody to get to do anything you wanted if you had some watermelon Jolly Ranchers and some Garbage Pail Kid cards. You know that. You could be a warlord on the playground with those two things. Playground warlord. Band name, playground warlord. You could. So I was, you know, looking around. I found this 80s account on Instagram last night. I was trying to walk my mind back and make myself go to sleep. And then I flipped out because I didn't know that they followed me, and I thought that was really cool. But I saw this commercial for Garbage Pail Kids, and I watched it, and I somewhat facetiously wondered, is this where it all went wrong? I want you to listen to this. This is an actual report, a news report from back in the day. They went and they talked to the good people of Duncanville, Kane, about the Garbage Pail Kids. This is back in the 80s, guys. This is when you had Baby Dana and Baby Kane. Listen.
Uncle Sam with his finger up his nose.
Got the cards there.
They're called the Garbage Pail Kids, a parody on Cabbage Patch Dolls. But parents aren't laughing.
He's sitting there with a button in his lap ready to... Or he does. He blows his head off, and when it comes off, it looks like the atomic bomb. It looks communistic.
I love this woman.
It looks like maybe someone is trying to break the American family.
The bubblegum and cards are made by a Pennsylvania company, but they're being sold locally at 7-Eleven stores and Toys R Us. Parents are banding together to get the product off store shelves.
Oh, come on,
the protest is being organized by parents of children who attend the Daybridge Learning Center in Duncanville.
This is a Tipper Gore era.
Parents who've put their concerns on paper in the form of a petition.
This is a petition that some of the parents have decided that we would like to circulate to try to get the Garbage Patch
just
kids
wait.
Taken
you think
off of the
garbage,
market.
Just wait
they
until
depict
they
violence
draw
and destruction
kids with strap-ons and they talk about oral sex in the elementary school library books. Just wait. Just wait, ladies. Just wait, Duncanville mamas. Just give it. Give it like what? 20 years? 25 years? Just give it some time. Give it 30 years, probably. Give it some time. Just wait. If you thought Garbage Pail Kids were bad, wait until you hear about a little book called Gender Queer. Man. It's communistic. I mean, it's, you know, attacking them. I love this woman. But how much you want to bet she votes Democrat? I'm just saying, you know, that was like Al Gore. Remember him? Al Gore, the guy who had a tobacco farm and he wanted some masseuse to release his chakra. So gross. Chakra, that apparently is, I am told that that is Burmese for a pervert dude asking you to do gross things. But is that where it went wrong, King? Is it us because with our damn Garbage Pail Kid cards?
Apparently.
I had so many of them.
Apparently, I wasn't even aware of those. Like I was telling you off the air, I had never seen a report like that about Garbage Pail Kids. We were like trading these at church.
Yeah, man, I had these at church. I had these at church camp.
Right. So it just kind of blew me away to see that news story. I had never seen that in the 80s in real time.
We were all busy getting lectured to by our moms about razors and candy.
Right.
And satanic cults. Remember that?
Right.
There's a devil cult down the street. And y'all kids better go through them bags of candy. There's going to be razors in them bags of candy. It's what I remember my grandma telling my mom. Now, you better go through her candy because, you know, them people been putting razors in that candy. And I'm like, who is them people? She's like, the Satanists. Like, what? But it started with the maybe it was the Garbage Pail Kids. Is it us? Are we the baddies? I mean, did we do this? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I was looking at this. They were, I remember the Tipper Gore era. They got real mad at, what's his face? Douchebag D. Snyder,
right.
Twisted Sister, who is so mad that everybody plays that We're Not Going to Take It song because he's a super far left dude. And he's so mad that people use that song like against his ideology. I think it's hysterical. ASCAP, wah, wah. But that's when Tipper Gore went at him and all those other bands like, oh, these are bad lyrics. They're going to corrupt our kids as much as your husband does or no. I just, you know, I'm wondering, asking for some friends. Anyway, I saw that last night. Yeah. Garbage Pail Kids. They had, I mean, it was the best. They had the best. I had so many of these cards, so many of them. My mom did not care what I watched. She didn't care what I read. She did not care. This woman did not care. And guess what? I'm not an axe murderer. I don't deal meth. I don't do none of that. Right?
Yeah.
And I'm not a communist. So I feel like that was a pretty good, you know, pretty good thing. Yeah. But I mean, I had all those. Yeah. What is this? Shaggy Aggie? Right. The chick with the Garbage Pail Kid with the hair under her armpits.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like half of the liberal actresses
that's
in Hollywood right now.
Say.
I mean, that's like.
That's the pre-programming of
yeah, yeah, yeah. But I will say this. The chicks were chicks and the dudes were dudes in Garbage Pail Kids, right? And there was nobody with strap-ons. There was nobody, like, talking about fellatio. There was none of that stuff that was happening in Garbage Pail Kids, okay? I mean, so what? There was a little violence. You know, it's all in good fun. Golly, I reject that we are the baddies because of that.
Yeah.
I reject it. We have a lot more on the way that you don't want to miss. As we get rolling on, gosh, this is all getting real stupid, real fast, guys. All getting real stupid, real quick.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
The State of Israel was born to be a safe place for the Jewish people of the world. That's why it was born. Long said,
Does he say that's where it was born, or that's where I was born? He can barely articulate a sentence, so who the hell knows what he said? He looks weak. He looks too damn old to be doing this job, and he embarrassed the nation on the world stage. I don't want to say this, because even if I don't like the party or political affiliation of the president of the United States, I am so, like, such an American in my DNA that I don't want us to look bad no matter who's in charge. This looks bad. And this is not the time to look bad and look weak. I mean, you had all the Arab leaders that were going to meet with him that all, like, while he was in midair, didn't even give him the courtesy of 24-hour notice, said, no, we're not going to meet with you. Tick off. We're not going to meet with you. We're not going to meet with you. Not going to happen. So he only met with Netanyahu, and then he turned around and came home. That was it. And then he gave this bumbling, stupid speech over there. That's all he did. And then he came back. I mean, it looked like, what was the point of him going over there? It looked stupid. He loses his train of thought during a meeting where they've got the cameras with Netanyahu, and he can barely talk, and he's like, I don't know. Oh my gosh. Democrats, please, for the sake of the country that you claim to love, like, do a reality check here. You cannot, this guy may not live through another damn election. Jiminy Christmas, he looks so sick. The hell is wrong with you people? I get that you have a hard-on to try to go and get power, but this is beyond. It's beyond. You are endangering the security of America by this, because you are so desperate for power. Second hour on the way.
Kelly of Pennsylvania.
Former Speaker of the House, the Honorable John Boehner.
Boehner.
Mike Kelly's a moron. You, sir, are a moron. My friend Brian won't have to be. Actually, Mike Kelly, you're a jackass. My good friend Brian Kilmeade, he's got to worry about standing on a hot mic. I will rush to it. Yeah, well, I just upped it by Jack, because we all know that Jack makes it worse than dumb. It's my rule. Welcome to the show. I'm a little right now. What? Yeah, I need a little bit. I'm mad. This is come on. I feel like we kids got to take charge here. Right? I'm just saying. Welcome back to the program. Top of the second hour here. And this is the latest. I'm not going to touch too much on the House stuff, because I hate everybody right now. I hate all of them. I'm so mad. These absolute cows. You can listen coast to coast. You can watch the simulcast. I'd put my Faraday thing on, but I made my bun too big today, Kane. My hair bun. Can simulcast it? Yeah. I'm going to put my phone in my little Faraday pouch, though, and keep it in there, because I'm going to get a lot of hate texts from House staffers and probably some House members, because I just went off on all of them on Twitter. Or, sorry, X. Don't care. Come at me. I will eat up your rage like a solar-powered calculator eats light to function. I don't care. Anyway, you can watch the simulcast of the program, YouTube, Facebook, Channel 347, DirecTV as well. So this, just to give you the latest... we still don't have a speaker. And Jim Jordan lost more votes today, which I kind of knew he would. He lost more votes today than he did yesterday. So what are we going in the third round again? Fifth round? 11th round? Here's the thing. I said this 2 weeks ago. You had some blockheads that decided to Leroy Jenkins us right into this stupid mess. And now what are you going to do? Either vote for a speaker or GTFO. That's it. I am so tired of these clowns power jockeying for a little bit of this or that while the world burns, and you got President Sniffs McKids out there falling on his face on the international stage. Jim Jordan is the guy. The end of. Either vote for him or get out. You deserve to get pilloried to the highest level. Either vote for him or get out. No one cares about anything else you got to say. You all decided you wanted to do this now, so either vote for him or GTFO. I am done with you absolute jackasses. Vote for him or get out. You're screwing around with us now. Democrats are holding the line saying, we're not going to help you at all. In fact, they're trying to put some moves on to make sure that Hakeem Jeffries gets it. And guess what? That could very well happen. I'm not exaggerating. That's not hyperbole. I'm not doing this as a scare tactic. You got enough stupid people in there where that absolutely could happen. That is the only thing that we control. We have the most conservative. I know this. I hate these people and I follow them religiously to make sure that they don't vote away my money. You have the most conservative House majority in what? Oh, a decade at least. Sure, razor thin majority. The most conservative in about a decade. The only thing in D.C. we control. And this is what they're doing. We're going on week three of this. Week three of this. Jordan's the guy or get out. That's it. Get this damn vote done. I'm so done with this stuff. Everyone's like, well, I want to. You got so-and-so holding out because they want this. You have so-and-so holding out because they want that. You have somebody else holding out because they don't like Matt Gaetz. And they want Matt Gaetz. Oh, my gosh, I don't care. Get over yourselves. Or we'll help you get over it. This is so stupid. I don't know if you saw this. It's all over. How bad Biden looks. Oh my gosh, it is so bad. I told you guys when I was at the State of the Union address. I mean, I was relatively close to him. I was sitting on his left side, directly to his left side, so I could see behind the podium. He did not walk up easily to that podium. When he got to the podium, he immediately leaned on it. And you know how people will grab the sides of the podium and they'll sometimes lean on it? A lot of times they do that for emphasis or to have somewhere to put their hands or, you know, for this. He actually needed to lean on it. I mean, I could see it from this. You can't hide it when they're in front of you like that. He can't have handlers up there right next to him when he's giving the State of the Union address. You know, they can crop it and just do waist up and just have the podium in front of him for TV so it looks normal. But I was sitting to the side of him. Guys, he didn't look good then. This is even worse. He's sitting there on the world stage, and I get, yes, because I've already had some people, Dana, you know, he traveled. Shut up. I don't care. That is irrelevant when you're talking about this level of a game. At this level, that's irrelevant. And it's not a game, really. At this level, it is irrelevant. I mean, this is, he looks horrible. He goes over to the Middle East to meet with these world leaders, to meet with King Abdullah of Jordan, to meet with Sisi out in Egypt. He was going to meet with Abbas, the head of the terrorist authority. He was going to meet, you know, and Netanyahu. He was going to meet with all these leaders. All of the Arab leaders bailed on him. They didn't even give him 24-hour notice. He was already in the air halfway over there, and they bailed on him. All he could do was meet with Netanyahu. And then he tried to act like, well, I'm going to ask some questions. And he gave his stupid speech, blah, blah, blah. And then he announced, I don't even know. Like, this is audio soundbite 4. This is, what the hell is this? What is this?
You know, years ago, I asked the Secretary of State when he and I were working in the Senate to write something for him. And he said, he wrote a line that I think is appropriate. He said, it's not, we lead, not just, well, I won't go into it, I'll wait later. I'm taking too much time.
What the heck?
What is that? Oh, this is taking too much time. And here's his big tough talk, audio soundbite 6. Here is President Sniff's McKids, his big message to anyone looking to exploit this these hostilities.
We move U.S. military assets to the region, including positioning the USS Ford Carrier Strike Group in the Eastern Mediterranean, with the USS Eisenhower on the way, to defer further aggression against Israel and to prevent this conflict from spreading. The world will know that Israel is stronger than ever. And my message to any state or any other hostile actor thinking about attacking Israel remains the same as it was a week ago. Don't.
Really? That's it?
Don't.
You know what he needs to get? What he should have said is anyone who looks to increase or escalate these hostilities, we in the form of American might will stick our proverbial red, white, and blue boots so far up your backside that it's going to come out the top of your head. Any questions? He looked so weak. And then this, audio soundbite 8. And then he's, I guess we're just going to fund the whole thing. Listen.
Today, I'm also announcing $100 million in new U.S. funding for humanitarian assistance in both Gaza and the West Bank.
So you can't just give money. Who runs Gaza, Kane? Who runs Gaza? Yeah, the elected party that is who?
Yeah, Hamas.
Hamas. That's right. That's so he's we're funding, just funding it, funding the whole damn thing. This guy. So it's bad. We have Democrats that are so obsessed with clinging to power. They don't care what placeholder they have to put in there to do it, even if it's a placeholder that makes us look weak and bad on the world stage. I've never seen ever any leaders, that's unprecedented to see leaders cancel on the president of the United States like that. And that is after you had the media promoting the story about the Gazan hospital. Actually, it was the parking lot that was hit because Hamas or whatever. Someone's like, it was the Islamic Jihad. It's all the same damn thing. As opposed to what? Presbyterian Jihad, you stupid moron. As opposed to what? The Pentecostal Jihad? We're going to braid your hair. I mean, what is what? Oh, jeez. It's the same side of the stupid coin. So all just one. There's all different sides of the stupid coin. It's all the same thing. You know. So they misfired a rocket. This isn't the first or 10th time that this has happened. I mean, they lied about it. So and then there was the IDF that's like, here's the audio of actual terrorists talking about how that was their rocket. Here's the video showing that the rocket literally was fired out of Gaza and it landed in Gaza. It never even was in Israeli airspace. Here's the geo tracking and all of the people, including some of these newly conservative people that just became conservative so they could grift the hell out of naive people. They're like, well, just last week it was all, we need to see some proof of them dead babies. Need to see some proof of the dead babies. We'd like to see some proof of that. I don't think, and they immediately didn't want to believe it, but then they eagerly run with these Hamas talking points, like, you know, zero to nothing. Like I said, it's not the first time that they've ever misfired either. So you have the media that spread the lie, world leaders that also spread the lie. You had the World Health Organization that also spread the lie. You know, the World Health Organization. Are we going to, by the way, the same people who pretend to be on the right that grift everyone. They're newly righty members. They still talk like progressives if you know what to look for. And they're grifting the absolute hell out of enough gullible people. It's sad, but it's true. You got to be hatefully suspicious of everything like me. You have to be a cynic. We're cynics. That's why, you know, it works. We're cynics. But these people, they have been out there saying, oh, well, we're going to need proof of the dead babies. We don't believe in the babies were killed. Oh, my gosh, what? They were also the same people that didn't want to believe the World Health Organization with COVID, but now suddenly they're eagerly believing the World Health Organization. The same World Health Organization that lied to you about COVID all of a sudden wants to repeat Hamas talking points, and these grifters are like, oh, yeah, must be true. I mean, this is blood libel. It's what it is. And it's not the first time that they've killed their own people with rocket fire. More than one-fifth of the 1,000 rockets that they had fired towards Israel literally failed and landed in Gaza, and they caused a third of the deaths. You should go back and look at the time that they misfired a rocket and it landed in a school or it landed in an apartment complex. I mean, it's not like they have a lot of infrastructure anyway. Hamas likes to go in and strip everything out so they can make their bombs because Hamas doesn't care about the people in Gaza. Hamas only, the only thing that Hamas cares about is killing Jews. That's it. They don't care about anything else. I have to tell you, I thought a friend of mine on social media, I love how he put this. And I think that this is incredibly accurate. He said this, quote, I don't believe I don't believe you that you care about Palestinian lives. If you were, you'd be angry at Hamas and the other jihadists who are responsible for so many deaths of Palestinians. But you're only angry at Israel because you don't care about Palestinian lives. You just hate Jews. Where's the lie?
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so a few things here. I didn't get to this headline, but it amused me. A Japanese headline, this is from last hour. A Japanese airline is forced to put on an extra flight because a group of sumo wrestlers were all booked on the same plane, and it made it too heavy to take off. Because they're literally sumo wrestlers. The average weight of a sumo wrestler is 264 pounds. And they said that, they were going to Osaka because they had like a huge tournament, right? And they realized, we're actually going to have a whole other plane to get them there because they are big dudes. I mean, that's just, and they're supposed to be. That's the whole jam, right? I just thought that was kind of interesting. Let's see. A disposable diaper scare caused a Panama to Florida flight to turn around. A flight from Panama to the U.S. made a U-turn Friday after the discovery of a suspicious package in the toilet that turned out to be an adult diaper. Panama's Civil Aviation Authority first announced that the COPA flight between Panama City and Tampa had to turn around due to a presumed bomb threat. Back on the tarmac, they had to empty it, search it for the explosives unit. They found it was an adult diaper carefully wrapped in a black rubbish bag. They posted it on social media. Imagine you're that person, though. And you're, oh my gosh, you're probably horrified. Let's see. No, thank you to this. Meat giant Tyson Foods reveals a new insect plant in 2025. They're buying a stake in an insect company called Protix BV, and they're going to establish a manufacturing to produce bug-based meat. I'm not going to, is it mean if I say that I hope that if the, or maybe it would, you know, I wouldn't be sad if when the building's empty and no one's there, lightning struck. Stay with us.
Looking for the drive-through version of the Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from the Dana Show.
Well, the truth of the matter is, if there weren't an Israel, we'd have to admit one. The truth of the matter is that I believe that as I went home and said, I got in trouble at the time, but it's true. You don't have to be a Jew to be a Zionist. You don't have to be a Jew to be a Zionist. And I think the security and safety of Jews worldwide is anchored in the continued vibrance of the state of Israel.
He is not helping. What did he say? That if there wasn't an Israel, we'd have to invent one? What did you say, Kane? Tell the folks what you said.
Just replace Israel with war. If there wasn't war, we'd have to invent war.
Yeah, and you know what? If we didn't have Hamas, we wouldn't be in this situation. I mean, it's pretty simple and accurate to say that.
$100 million there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Welcome back to the program, Dana Lesher, with you. Bottom of this second hour. This is the media malpractice on this is so horrific that it's truly stunning. And I've covered media malpractice. I mean, when my late friend and mentor Andrew Breitbart was still alive, they still had the verticals over at Breitbart when Andrew was alive, and it was, you know, before Bannon ruined it. I helmed the big journalism vertical, and that was my beat because I hated Legacy Press. I've hated the Legacy Press for a long time just because my issue isn't if someone has an opinion. My issue is if you aren't honest with people about what it is. Whether you are in reporting or whether you are even like me in commentary, I am in commentary. I can do hard news, but I just don't. Sometimes it gets a little weird if there is serious breaking news that happens and you have to put all editorialization aside and just give people what's happening. I mean, that's not difficult to do, but apparently it is for a lot of other people who insist on staining everything with their opinions. But I, you know, even in commentary, I'm very forthright with everybody about where I stand and, you know, what I believe and why I believe it, whether it's on a particular issue or about a particular lawmaker, candidate, politician, whatever. I don't I don't begrudge someone for having an opinion. I think it's a farce to go along to the notion that there are people in media that don't have opinions. Like, there are just some good people that have no opinions at all whatsoever, and they're just going to bring you the news. No, they absolutely do. Some are just really good at putting their own egos aside and actually prioritizing the viewer or the reader or the listener. And those are the people, if I had to say who is the free press, it's a very small number, and it's those people. So I in focusing and talking about media malpractice, this what we've seen, when you see these headlines from New York Times and others, they're not presenting this to you as though it's commentary. They're not showing this to you as this is a straight news story. This is an editorial. It's editorialization that's presented as actual news. They did not cross-examine. They did not double-check. They did not do any of the due diligence that's required for a story of this type before they ran with these headlines blaming the IDF for what happened at this hospital. And as a result, they've contributed to widespread destabilization across the Middle East. It's contributed to these Arab leaders revoking their meeting with the president of the United States. It is the reason why you see widespread rioting, why you see U.S. embassies, even Israeli embassies, being besieged in different countries. I mean, for me, when I see this and I see the recklessness, this is an accidental recklessness. It's purposeful maliciousness. And I do believe that the media wants a war. The media wants chaos. And Democrats like Rashida Tlaib are none too eager to play right into it. I believe that people like Rashida Tlaib, I think Rashida Tlaib is engaged in blood libel. I think that Rashida Tlaib has engaged in Hamas propaganda. She is a sitting lawmaker who has parroted Hamas propaganda. She has pushed the lie that it was the IDF, even though there was no rocket in IDF airspace. IDF wasn't in even that airspace in Gaza. You have geo-tracking. And it's not just the IDF that's saying this. You do realize that there are contractors over there, and there are third-party media agencies that aren't exactly friendly to Israel. And they don't, not saying that they're friendly to Hamas either, but there, you realize that there's a trove of evidence out there showing this. But these people are hell-bent on repeating the jihadis, the terrorists' propaganda, because they want war. They want Iran to get involved. They want war. Rashida Tlaib wants war. She's pushed this, oh, the IDF, Israel bombed this hospital. She hasn't taken it down. She's doubled down on it. She hasn't rescinded it. She hasn't retracted it. She hasn't corrected it in a subsequent tweet or any kind of statement at all whatsoever. In fact, she's doubled and tripled down on it on social media. Ilhan Omar also. Where's the condemnation from that party on these terrorist apologists engaging in blood libel? Where's the condemnation from Democrats? I don't give a rat's ass what you think about the Republican Party right now. The Republican Party right now is not out there pushing Hamas propaganda and using the influence of elected office in the United States to do so. So where is the condemnation? And by condemnation, the accountability. Where are the people holding these blood libelists accountable? This behavior is unfit for an adult. It's unfit for a person with more than one brain cell. It's unfit for a sitting elected member of Congress. But the media has helped enable it. They work hand in hand doing this together. And they cry out, oh, attack. The legacy media has done more to undermine the quote unquote free press than anybody else in the United States. They are their own worst enemy. And I have to wonder at this point, you know, going back to what I had said, which I thought was a very good point that a friend of mine had made. When he said, you know, you don't care about Palestinian lives if you're not angry at Hamas and the other jihadis who were responsible for so many deaths of these Gazans. You're just angry at Israel. Not because you care about Gazan lives, because you just hate Jews. I think there are people that just hate Jewish people and they don't care. They don't care about the facts of the matter. They buy into all of this quote unquote Zionist stuff and they just hate Jewish people. It's a thing. I don't know. I don't know what the hell's going on. But there are way too many people that are being too froggy and stupid out there for my taste. Just got to say. Like I told you, if you wanted to know how so many people got loaded up under rail cars and taken to be burned alive or chemically murdered, if you wanted to know how that happened, there are people showing you how it happened today right now. How their conscience allowed for it to happen. Because they justified their hate with this nonsense. Because it's identity politics. This is identity politics. Genocide is the ultimate end of identity politics. I hope you realize that. This is why I have railed about this for over a decade. This is why that I see, when I say identity politics, no matter who practices it, it is a far left murderous belief. There are people on the right who practice this, on the far right, and you know it. There are people who've come out and said, oh, I don't like Zionists, blah, 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 and they're like trying to side with Hamas. Some of them have dippy little podcasts that they put out, and they're on the right. I would say that the majority of them are on the left, but I'm not going to sit here and try to run defense for some of the scum on the earth that I see that are on the right that practice the same damn identity politics that I see communists practice. Don't sit here and tell me that you're an individualist and a constitutionalist if you engage in the same kind of statist mindset and ideological practice that we have seen throughout history. Identity politics is leftist. When people show you who they are, believe them. People who claim faith and practice identity politics, that's a sin. Because you're basically saying that you know better than God, because that's not how God structured any of this. You are either a child of the kingdom or you are not. That is your only identity. And if you want to argue otherwise, you can take it up with God and you can go sit with the other Satanists in the corner. I'm tired of this nonsense. And while all of this is happening, you got Republicans playing footsie in the House. I mean, it's a mess. A mess of unforced errors, a mess of bad leadership, just a mess. And then Iran saber rattles. Did you see I told you about their little tweet that they had, their foreign minister declared on Wednesday. I love how these people who couldn't fight their way out of a wet paper, they couldn't bust a grape in a fruit fight, but they get out here and they're like, I'm going to tweet something tough. The foreign minister of Iran went out there today and said, quote, time is over. This is as Biden was arriving in Tel Aviv. That's when they tweeted it. Interesting. Said time is up. So they're saber rattling. And now they're trying to run their mouths in all of this. And the media is helping them. They're helping them do all of it. It is stunning to see this, truly. And all real time. All real time. And the hospital explosion. Have you seen some of the photos that have come out for this? The hospital, I mean, it's not the hospital, it's the parking lot. Yeah, that's the other thing. It is a parking lot. It hit a parking lot when the jihadis misfired their rocket. And there's clips all over. You can see the parking lot. The cars are destroyed. It didn't hit the hospital. There was a crater where the impact was. And it doesn't, I mean, you can see some of the destruction in some of the images that are online. They don't even actually know who, I don't think they have a fatality count. And it's just wild. But if you believe the media, I retweeted a meme where it, the Jesse Smollett meme. After they hit the hospital with a missile, they started yelling, this is Zionist country. It's the parking lot. Juan's showing you some of the images of the parking lot that's out there. And that's the parking lot that was hit. So I will say there's some bright spots right now. Even though I'm like very mean with the GOP, I do like the fact, two things. I like the fact that you have lawmakers like, let me pull this up. I don't know if you saw what Sarah Huckabee Sanders has been doing. I was really impressed to see that move. They've decided to go after China. I'm pulling this story up, so bear with me, because I've got too many things apparently for this to pull up. But they're getting the CCP out of the state. That's amazing. They're getting CCP out of Arkansas. They're one of the first to do this, and that's I know Florida has done something to this extent, but now you also have Arkansas that's pushing to do it. Oh yeah, we have the site. Yeah, listen to this. This is her presser on this. This was late yesterday. Listen.
I'm announcing that Syngenta, a Chinese state-owned agrochemical company, must give up its land holdings in Arkansas. Syngenta owns 160 acres in northeast Arkansas, which it uses primarily for seed research. The company that owns Syngenta, ChemChina, is also on the Department of Defense's list of Chinese military companies posing a clear threat to our state. Seeds are technology. Chinese state-owned corporations filter that technology back to their homeland, stealing American research and telling our enemies how to target American farms. That is a clear threat to our national security and to our great farmers, especially since the Chinese government enacted a law in 2017 requiring Chinese citizens abroad to collaborate with their country's security officials on intelligence work.
So the company Syngenta, the Northrop King Seed Company, that's the one that operates in the state, and they're owned by the government. Syngenta is owned by ChemChina, and ChemChina, Syngenta, Northrop, I mean, they're all the same thing. And China is subject to U.S. arms export controls, known as the International Traffic in Arms Regulations, and there's a couple of things at play in here, but she says seeds are tech. And Chinese-owned state corporations, they're filtering tech back to their homeland, and they're stealing American research and telling people, as she said, you heard her, how to target American farms. So they said that the company had missed a June deadline to disclose their foreign ownership. They weren't disclosing that they were owned by the CCP. So there you go. So this is a bright spot. Someone's doing this correctly, because you have to protect it's a hostile action. This is not like a business thing that China is doing. It's a hostile action that they're hoping that enough people buy their excuse that, oh no, it's just business. It's not, though.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right. Let's see. Juggling a whole bunch of stuff here. First up, you'll have to bear with me here. I'm dealing with some technical difficulties. First up that we have for our Florida man, hides in a chest of drawers and uses a whiteboard to evade deputies. This is, according to WESH Channel 2, Lakeland, Florida, a man tried to evade deputies through hiding in a dresser drawer. He was, the sheriff's office said on Saturday, deputies went looking for Johnny Yates at a home. They were greeted by a whiteboard message saying that Johnny Yates is not here. He does not live at this house. So this guy decided to make a sign and he put it on the outside of his home to try to trick the Florida deputies into not believing that he was there so they would leave. And then he hid in a dresser drawer. And in fact, Johnny Yates did live there. And he was at home. And they did arrest him. We have our third hour on the way. Stick with us.
There are those voices there across this region and elsewhere who say the price of military action is too great, that too many civilians are now dying, too many Palestinians are already dying.
We're in a full war here. And the responsibility isn't on us. You should take that question straight back to Hamas. We are here because we have no other choice.
That's members of the IDF talking to ABC, because ABC is saying, well, you know, there's people who say the price of action is too great. You mean the price of response? The price of acting to defend your people and your people's sovereignty? Because that's what's happening here. Let's not mistake the truth of this. That's what's actually happening. Welcome back to the program. Top of this third hour. Dana Lash here with you. You can stream, listen to the radio show across the country. You can stream it. You can watch the simulcast as well. A couple of things. So the president has also tweeted out after he made the statement when all of the Arab leaders decided to cancel on him. He met with Netanyahu. He says he's announcing $100 million of humanitarian assistance in Gaza. And the West Bank, he says the money is going to support conflict-affected, quote-unquote, Palestinians. You mean Gazans and people who live in West Bank. He goes, and we have mechanisms in place so this aid reaches those in need, not Hamas or terrorist groups. You're an ass. No, that's not true. Hamas runs Gaza. This literally just happened. So like what, right? But this literally just happened the day after it was announced that, or the day after it was reported that Hamas stole all of the UN aid. I went and I discussed that with you yesterday in detail. They stole all of the UN aid. Every bit of money that is donated to West Bank or Hamas is used by the terrorist groups that run West Bank and the terrorist group that runs Gaza. Gaza, Hamas runs Gaza. It's not going to go to Gazans. It's going to go to Hamas. He's going to fund more terrorist attacks. That's what this is. He just announced another donation for terrorism. He is funding these attacks at this point with our thieved tax dollars. That's exactly what he just said. So we're funding, you're funding, we are funding terrorism. Is it too early to break out John Rich's whiskey? I'm just wondering. Is it, you know, no. Put some of my diet soda that I got here on my big old thermos. I'm just wondering. Every single lawmaker needs to stand up to this. And those who don't are complicit. If you're giving money to the people who are waging the terrorist attacks, you're complicit. If you're not objecting to having your money used, you're complicit. I think that we ought to be in the streets over this. We should be in the streets over this. And I'll tell you something. The people with the flags doing their little genocidal chants about rivers and seas, y'all don't have nothing on the real pissed off people who don't want to be bothered and who just want to live their lives, who just want to be of use to their country, raise their families, and live a good life. When you make those people mad, there is nothing that you would ever have on the wrath of those people. This is inexcusable. Why should anybody pay taxes? Why should I pay tax? For what? To give it to a godless government so they can use it to go pay off terrorists to go kill more kids? Curious. That's exactly what this donation, what this is. It's they want war. They're trying to spend their way into war. The military complex is rubbing its hands together. War Inc. They're rubbing their hands together. You know, this comes after, again, $100 million in aid. Hamas stole humanitarian supplies already. We talked about this story. They already stole a whole bunch of, they used all the medical aid too. They stole that. So when you would have the IDF going to various, there's a plural of it. You know, the kibbutz communities, it's just kind of redundant to say that like that. But when they were going into these communities, they found these discarded aid medical kits that were from UN. They steal the assistance. They have no welfare for Gazans. And yet, so Biden's like, I'm going to give them more money. Boy, he's just a real smart cookie, isn't he? This is after a member. He had, you know, the whole Iranian spy thing. Iranian influence network. They're keeping their security clearance after a Pentagon review. A secret Pentagon official, Free Beacon, who was recently outed as an alleged member of an Iranian government influence operation, is going to keep her security access. True. She's a senior official in the Defense Department's Special Op Office. She was identified by a left-leaning entity, by the way, as a member of the Iran Experts Initiative, an Iranian government propaganda network run by Tehran's foreign ministry. And they advance the Islamic Republic's interests amongst policymakers in D.C. That's her membership. So they're letting her keep her clearance despite this. The Pentagon says, no, she's cleared. Is that the same Pentagon that allowed the nuclear twink who was out there stealing everybody's, all these ladies' luggage? Yeah. He got to keep his too? Yeah, okay. I was just wondering. Mm-hmm. I was just wondering. Yeah, the Iran Experts Initiative. And as part of her participation, she directs, she communicates directly with senior Iranian officials. Boy, that seems weird. Huh. I like this headline from this piece I was looking at. Matthew Continetti wrote a good piece. From Jerusalem to Kyiv, at this point, it's all one. It's kind of one war, but not really. But I do like this subhead. The president lands in Israel in the midst of a war for the civilized world, whether he knows it or not. He's already on his way back to the U.S., but it is true. Do you know that Israel, didn't they reject Zelensky's? Zelensky said he wanted to go there to show support, was it really that? Is he really going there to show support? I got questions. So this is a mess. It is a mess, an absolute mess. And I almost have no words. And you have all of the, I will say, Dan Abrams, let me pull this up. Because this has been over, this was over at Media. Dan Abrams got really, really mad. He founded Mediaite. He's on News Nation. And he went after a lot of the people on the media. He name-checked Washington Post, CNN, New York Times, AP, for all immediately taking a statement, he says, by the Hamas terrorist-run health ministry in Gaza Strip. Because, you know, they said, oh, it's a Palestinian health ministry. Jake Tapper tweeted that out, too. Palestinian health ministry says approximately they're run by Hamas. They took that and they immediately ran with it like gospel truth. And they blamed it squarely on IDF, which contributed to all of this mess that now that we're seeing. And they're treating, Abrams correctly noted that they were treating the Hamas-run health ministry like it was a legitimate source. Good on him for criticizing them, because they deserve it. They deserve the criticism. Jake Tapper literally was saying the government in Gaza. Jake Tapper was saying the government in Gaza. You mean Hamas? Hamas, just say it. Hamas. And in the meantime, on all these college campuses, all these protests, although I keep seeing now headline after headline after headline of law schools that are rescinding job, or not law schools, excuse me, law firms that are rescinding offers to some of these Ivy League brats. So there's a couple little bright spots there. And they are there. You play stupid games and you're going to win stupid prizes. You know, dumb moves have consequences. That is true. So they're rescinding offers. One of the newest ones is Davis Polk. They sent an internal email. They didn't even tell the press about this. This just leaked out. Davis Polk is the law firm. They had an internal email to staff that the students' statements do not align with their values. So they rescinded their letters of employment for three law students at Harvard and Columbia. The students who signed on to the pro-Hamas statement about Israel. And a small business lawyer posted the screenshot of the email Tuesday yesterday. And when the press reached out to the firm, Davis Polk, the firm confirmed that it was authentic. And this, I mean, I can imagine. If their logic is already that bad, imagine how horrible they'll be at that firm. Good heavens. And that's not, by the way, no one went after Davis Polk. So before somebody decides to get their britches, pull their britches up over their head with cancel culture nonsense, no one went after Davis Polk. Hell, I didn't even know they existed. I don't think most people did unless they were in law until yesterday. Nobody went after Davis Polk. Did you see any campaign to go after Davis Polk, Kane?
No.
I didn't either. They saw that and they're like, oh, hell no. This is not going to fly. They didn't want to be associated with that. They have the free right to do that. Unless, wait a minute, you want them to bake the cake. Is that what I'm hearing? Somebody.
Sounds like it.
So, there's a fabulous op-ed over at Newsweek. I sent this out to you subscribers in your email newsletter. Again, I don't believe that this is an actual ethnicity or a country, but I'm going to say it as, because I think the correct term is Gazan, or, you know, you're a West Bank resident. But this guy says, I'm a Palestinian in the West Bank, and Hamas alone is responsible for bloodshed in Gaza. It's very insightful. Basim Eid talks about the thread on X, the relief works. It talks about the UN, how the UN has been trying to hide the fact that Hamas stole from them. And the resident says to people on the front lines, it's not a surprise the UN has a troubling record of supporting Hamas. They employ known Hamas terrorists. They turn a blind eye when their own ambulances and vehicles are used to transport weapons and explosives. They circulate textbooks in the Gaza Strip that spread vile anti-Semitic messaging with the horrific results we saw on October 7th. They say they don't even hide their outward support for Hamas. They provide direct financial support to their terror activities. They cover up for them. They criticize Israel. Their willingness, he says, to carry water for Hamas knows no bounds. He says, but the heartbreaking takeaway here is the lengths to which Hamas will go to hurt its own people in the name of destroying Israel. And this is why Hamas is responsible for the blood that has and will be shed, Israeli and Palestinian alike, he says, during this completely avoidable war. He says, after Israel gave civilians in Gaza numerous warnings in time to flee, Hamas did its best to force them to stay. Gazans know the high stakes of violating a direct Hamas order. They made it impossible for Gazans to flee via Egypt, to Egypt via the Rafah crossing. They've set up roadblocks within Gaza. And by the way, there's satellite footage of this. They prevented residents from exiting the northern part of the strip, and they're trying to maximize the use of their own people as human shields. He's correct. And he said that they want to try to make them into ducks on the range. And he adds, Hamas can be best understood as Taliban, Al-Qaeda, and ISIS combined. It's like the Taliban in that it runs a piece of territory as brutal Islamic dictatorship. Where, yes, you know, where alphabet people who don't live a strict Islamic lifestyle are executed. It's like Al-Qaeda in that it frequently engages in suicide bombings, and ISIS, where non-Muslim Yazidi ethnic group members were butchered and their women were turned into sex slaves. So he says Hamas is responsible. He says my neighbors want peace. Hamas does not. And that's true. And notice the people who are, it's either Hamas or people who have no understanding of the history of the region, the only other people who are saying otherwise.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So Victoria's Secrets is ditching, well, I guess the secret's out. They're ditching prioritizing wokeness after sales have dropped. So they said that the initiatives that they pushed, including, I'm just going to say it, Hefty Chicks that have been Hefty Chicks. It's accurate. Ain't nobody want to see no hefty chick in the lingerie in the window. Come on now. I mean, we all understand how psychology works and sales, correct? Yes, no? So they said, yeah, their feminist makeover hasn't translated to business success. No, it hasn't. It's ruined them. It made you into a joke. Women like to have places like that to go to. Like, they want a sexy store to go and get stuff, okay? Stop ruining the feminine for your BS. Stop it. So they're ditching it. Can you just let, like, women be women? Some women like to be attractive. And if other women have a problem with it, then it's probably you. Stop it. All right. So moving on. We, top 10 cars that are at risk of being stolen. The list has been released. The FBI crime report's out. They have the Highway Loss Data Institute. And they were, I mean, yes, there's some Kias in there. Of course, they have those. They said that the Dodge Charger Hemi is stolen at a rate of more than 20 times in the aforementioned average, according to the report. And the Charger SRT Hellcat, oh my gosh, 60 times more. I wanted a Hellcat really bad. Those get stolen like that much? Ooh, coming up. Something we got to tell you about. I made a video about it. You can see it. There is an exhibit opening that talks about, Ohio, they're considering abortion on demand up until birth. This is an exhibit about it. Stick with us.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
Welcome back to the program. This is a hard story to talk about. If you follow me on social media, you know that I put out a book I put out a video about this story that came out. There's like books about it. There's a film that's about it. All kinds of stuff. It is one of the scariest stories I think that's ever taken place in the United States. And it's the story of the biggest, most prolific serial killer, Kermit Gosnell. And it does not matter what you think about abortion going into this. It does not matter, because what this man did and what he was allowed to do, what he was given awards for doing, and that it went on for so many years is truly astounding. Now, you might be familiar with the Gosnell movie. It was the most, I think, successful crowdfunded movie that was ever done on Indiegogo. It raised, I think, in just like under 45 days, $2.3 million. And it was the brainchild of Anne McElhenney and Phelan McClear, who have done such an amazing job at telling the stories that nobody wants to report on, that the media would prefer to hide, that they want to erase from America's psyche, that they want to act like they don't exist. And they do this. I love the name of this. It's the Underreported Story Society, which we'll talk about. Unreported Story Society. This story about Kermit Gosnell, there is an exhibit that is opening. And it's opening in Columbus, Ohio. In Ohio, where voters are about to determine whether or not they are going to allow taxpayer-funded abortion on demand. Well, it's abortion on demand is birth control all the way up until the moment of birth. Taxpayer-funded, that's a whole other issue of that's being debated. But all the way up until the moment of birth, late term, which is exactly what Kermit Gosnell specialized in. When they raided his clinic, they found 47 bodies, infant bodies, stored in kitty litter jars, stored in freezers and bags in the refrigerators. I mean, this is real. This happened. And there are crime scene photos that have never been shown publicly. They were shown in court. And this is all part of this exhibit that is opening. It's called Evidence: The Shocking Crime Scene Photos That Put a Killer in Prison. America's biggest serial killer, Anne McElhenney, who created this. And she's launching this exhibition to tell this story right when voters here November 7th in Ohio are getting ready to make this monumental decision. She joins me now via Skype. And you always do such hard work. You do such hard work on some of the most difficult stories that are out there. So kudos to you for doing this, because this is a hard one. This is really hard.
Yeah, it's very hard. And thank you so much for amplifying this. We're so grateful to you, Dana. And you've been there with us telling the story from the very, very beginning. I'm so, so grateful to you. And it's very, very tough. And it's, I sometimes wonder, why is it, as I said, that the 501c3 we have is called the Unreported Story Society. Why is this story not being told by journalists? People in Ohio are going to be making, a very, very monumental decision. They're going to change their constitution. They're going to potentially allow abortion up to 9 months in their constitution. Shouldn't journalists be telling them everything that they need to know in order to make an informed decision? I mean, that's what journalists should be doing. Hmm. And I think that's part of what we're doing. We're telling through these photographs, particularly the very graphic photographs of the babies, which, by the way, just to tell your viewers, will be behind little black curtains. People can decide whether or not to look at those photographs. But they tell a picture, they tell a story that can be told most powerfully through pictures, which is, this is what you're voting to make legal. This is what it looks like, what you're voting to make legal. And I think we all deserve to know that. Why can't we talk about that? Why can't we have photographs? Why won't journalists tell that part of the story?
Yes, that's a great point. And you can go to evidencetheexhibition.com. to learn more about this. And you can also reserve your spot. It opens October 20th in Columbus, Ohio. And you might remember, for those of you watching the simulcast of the nationally syndicated radio show, Ann and Phelan were also behind My Son Hunter. They've done some amazing work telling these stories, and they were there from the very beginning. You were in the courtroom when this trial kicked off, and this had a profound effect on you. I mean, it changed the way that you not only viewed this issue, but also really sharpened your perception on how American media deals with these types of issues. When you walked into the courtroom before this all started, tell us how you shifted, how your perception changed from day one to now.
It's interesting. Thank you so much for asking that question. I mean, I wrote a book about this, a New York Times bestseller.
Yes,
and the preface, I describe myself, and I remember myself. I know who I was prior to this story, and I remember who I was when I was in university and the person that I was. And I had a whole thing about photographs, by the way, and I thought that pro-lifers using photographs, I was convinced that they were photoshopped, that they'd been interfered with. Of course, these photographs come from a court case, so they were completely unimpeachable. But I went into that courthouse. I will be honest with you. I was what they call neutral on abortion. So I, for your viewers, and they're very informed, there is no such thing as neutrality on abortion. You're either for abortion or you're against abortion. So in that context, I was for abortion. The thing that stopped me and Phelan in our tracks and that made all these years of all this work happen was one piece of testimony. In order for the jury to make a decision on the guilt of this man, they needed to be educated, and they needed to find out what was legal, and what was murder. And in order to do that, they had a legal abortion doctor who was on the stand, asked to describe what a legal abortion was. And the jury gasped. They made a noise. They audibly gasped. They gasped twice. The first time when the legal abortion doctor was asked, by way of you know, explaining their expertise, you know, in your career, how many abortions have you performed? And the answer was 40,000. And the jury gasped. And it kind of gives your viewers and me, it gave me an education that this is industrial. This is an industrial thing. This is like a factory. This is huge. And this is one doctor. 40,000. And this was not an old lady, by the way. This was not an old lady. This was a young enough person. She went on, though, to describe what she did when she did it right. And we heard that testimony, and we're like, okay, whatever we do, we're going to get that testimony out to the world. And we did that in the movie, and we had that very much.
It was powerful.
You know, that was like the central. It's a very powerful thing. And I think I've always felt, Dana, that this part, I mean, you know, as we did the investigation and spoke to, you know, the cops and the FBI and the CSI guys, we did get access to these photographs, the discovery, the whole, all of them from, you know, what they photographed when they walked into the clinic, you know, and those photographs are quite palatable, by the way. So when you walk into the exhibition, you see these photographs of the, you know, the procedure rooms. However, those procedure rooms have cats in them. And you see bloodstained furniture and things like that. But at the back of the exhibition, as I said, we have it closed off, and people will make a decision. I saw the photographs of the 47 babies that were recovered. And it's really interesting. I mean, this is a small anecdote. Just last week, Balaam and I went to see a very dear friend of ours who's just had a baby. And the baby's 3.5 weeks old, a little girl. And she was just, you know, doing what babies do. And she had her finger up like this. And you're a mom. You know what babies do. And her finger was just up like this. And Phelan and I just immediately looked at each other. It was really weird, Dana, because one of the babies is in that exact pose and has his finger up like that, almost in admonition. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you, he has haunted me. And I think he should be allowed to speak and tell people in Ohio, in Columbus, this is what it looks like. This is what you're voting for. And maybe you're good with that, but let's know what you are voting for. And this is what it's like. And don't allow Planned Parenthood and their spokespeople to tell you that late-term abortion is unusual and very, very rare and only in extraordinary circumstances. That's not true. And I can tell you how I know that's not true. Warren Hearn, who runs a late-term abortion clinic in Boulder, Ohio, in Boulder, Colorado, I should say, himself said that late-term abortions are done for the very, very same reasons as early-term abortions. The very, very same reasons. And when they say, oh, there's very rare, very, very few, according to the Guttmacher Institute, who are the experts and who are very, very pro-abortion, according to their numbers, and by the way, those numbers are very, very conservative, because no one, these abortion clinics are not required. They are not required to report the number of abortions they're doing. According to Guttmacher, there are 10,000 late-term abortions in America every year. And there'll be more if Ohio decides to vote for this. And this is why this is why we've decided to do this exhibition. And by the way, our plan is to bring this to your town, to bring this all over the country, because this is a story that journalists are unwilling to tell, and we will tell it.
We're talking with Ann McElhinney. Evidence, the exhibition, is this, I mean, this is, it's telling the story of Kermit Gosnell, America's biggest serial killer. And I am so grateful for, and I celebrate how honest you are about this, because for people what you said, how you went into this, and you were, you know, you talked about neutrality, but you were for abortion, but you had an open mind, and you went into this and you saw the evidence, the unassailable evidence, these unimpeachable photographs that came from this courtroom, and the story and the facts and the science convinced you to the position that you hold now. And there are a lot of people, as you said, they don't exactly know what this means. Everything is discussed in very vague, very generic terms when we talk about late-term abortion. But this is true. And the way that this was done, and this is the other aspect of this story that's terrifying, and you covered this so well. You and Phelan both covered this so well. This man received awards. He received awards even as there were cats running all over his clinic. He received awards even as they were storing babies in just jars. I mean, he got awards from the community. They celebrated him, Anne.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, there's so much about this story that's dreadful, and that's so newsworthy. I mean, one of the worst parts about it as well is the fact that for 17 years, and this is something else that Ohio needs to take account of, and every other state in the states that will be having these ballot measures, there's a whole bunch more of them in 2024, is that this guy, during 17 years, two women died. Samika Shaw, a young African-American mother, died. Karnamaya Monger, a Bhutanese refugee who was in America for 4 months before she died at the hands of Gosnell. The bureaucrats getting paid a ton of money in the Department of Health in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, did not get off their chairs to investigate those deaths. And this is in progressive Pennsylvania, a highly developed state. The Department of State, the Department of Health, they got countless complaints, some of them handwritten, some of them hand-delivered by doctors. 17 years they did not inspect the clinic. This is what Ohio may well be welcoming in. Because if it can happen in Pennsylvania, it can happen anywhere. And the idea, by the way, this is something that really strikes me as a very logical point. If Kermit Gosnell could do this in progressive Pennsylvania, progressive Philadelphia, why would anyone for a second think that this is not happening in California, Illinois, in New Mexico, New York, New Jersey? Why would you think that? Why would you think that the Department of Health in New York are different? What would be the basis for that judgment? If this can happen in Pennsylvania, it can happen anywhere, and it could happen in Ohio, and people need to decide if that's what they're voting for.
Absolutely. And we have a lot of listeners in Ohio, and I hope that they're listening now. I hope they're watching the simulcast, and I hope they go. They need to go just to be informed. I mean, I challenge people to educate themselves on this. Evidencetheexhibition.com. The Eventbrite link is up there as well. People can reserve their spot for opening on October 20th. And you're also going to be taking this to other states. This is just the first. You're going to be going across the country.
Yes. And we will have, by the way, Pastor Brian Williams will be opening the exhibition on Friday. And he is wonderful. And I don't know if you've seen him quoted. He's been quite out there explaining, for example, bizarrely that, you know, there's seven, I think the black population in Ohio is 17% of the population. However, the abortion population, the abortion numbers are 45% black in Ohio. So this is, you know, Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
Do they? Do they, you know, because somehow it looks to me like black lives are being targeted here by the abortion industry.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Ann McElhinney, if this was a just world, you'd be receiving Pulitzer Prizes for the work that you and Phelan do. You really would. You really would, because nobody's telling these stories. Nobody's doing this work. And it's not just, you know, on behalf of the innocent and the women who've lost their lives in this clinic, but it's also to educate voters. I mean, voters need to have this information before they go and they give the authority of their consent. Ann McElhinney, the website is evidencetheexhibition.com. And of course, I'm going to have you back to talk about the Unreported Story Society another time, but we've got to talk about that. UnreportedStorySociety.com as well. And I will send out a newsletter to all the subscribers with all of this information in it too. God bless you, Ann, for what you and
thank
do. Please,
you so much.
Please give Phelan our best. And I really wish I could be there with you in Ohio, but I will see you at some point on this tour. I will be there.
Yes, God bless you. Thank you so much.
Of course. Oh, thank you. Good to see you. Folks, the website is evidencetheexhibition.com, and you can go there. You can also get the link to donate. You can get the link to RSVP, and you can also get the link to the Unreported Story Society as well. It is a hard one. It's very hard. I read part of Anne's book, and I never had difficulty getting through some of the stuff that she sat through in that trial.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Continue to watch people think it's okay to bomb a hospital.
This is Rashida Tlaib.
We're children.
Girl, you're talking about Hamas.
You know what's so hard sometimes?
What, girl, you're talking about Hamas.
And the people telling the kids don't cry.
Girl, you're talking about Hamas. You're talking about Hamas. You're talking about Hamas. No, no, no. I'm trying to be cool.
How is she out there right now saying this? Like right now?
This is 8 minutes ago, you said.
That's where...
She's pushing this blood libel. Where's the censure? Where's the censure of this bigot terrorist apologist in Congress? Where's the censure of that? You're a terrorist, Rashida. You're a terrorist apologist. You might as well be one. If you're apologizing for it, you are one. That does it for us today. Folks, sign up for the newsletter, chapter, and verse over at Substack. I'll be back with you tomorrow.